I mean to do him better, Werner said. I'll be training with them gutbusters if they'll be having me, and then I'll come back to Felbar and pass it on. Don't ye worry. Reginald Roundshield will be taking his place at King Emerus's side afore many more years have gone by. That cheered her, and this time she threw a happy hug around Brunner. Brunner hugged her back and whispered more reassurances. It bothered him to lie to Eoin, but he figured it would bother him more to wound her. He had no intention of ever returning to Citadel Felbar. Not as Reginald Roundshield, at least. That he knew for sure, though he knew not what path might now be pulling him from this place. He had been quite ready to lift the weapons and battle Ragged Dane, relishing the thought of laying the old veteran low, confident that he could do so. For Brunner had more battle experience than Ragged Dane, and he carried it in a body young and strong. Yes, he had initially thought the challenge a grand idea. But then his would-be opponent had invoked Clangadin. Their fight would be nothing more, then, than yet another show for the pleasure of the dwarf gods. Nay, Brunner would be no part of that. Indeed, if Clangadin Silverbeard had shown up in that room, Brunner would have picked up the wooden axe and swung it at Clangadin's face. Because there was no point. Because there was no truth. Because the dwarf gods did not reciprocate the loyalty of their foolish subjects. Because everything that had sustained King Brunner throughout his centuries of life and his dedication to the tenets of his clan was a fraud, a game, a play without consequence. He realized that he was crushing Eoin against him by then, but she didn't understand that anger, not love, drove his muscles, albeit unintentionally. She didn't seem to mind, however, so Brunner held on, needing something, someone solid and dependable. Alturiac became Chess, and by the end of that third month, the first caravan was organized for the journey to Mithril Hall. Reginald Roundshield was named as second guard of the fourth wagon, serving under none other than Ragged Dane. Chapter 17. Complications. The Year of the Grinning Halfling, 1481 DR. Delphuntal. They had been among the best years of either life for Regis, and mostly because of this very dance with this very opponent. The tip of the blade came at him in a series of rapid thrusts, Denala's lead foot tapping solidly on the mat as she strode and maintained perfect balance. Regis countered with an upraised blade, tapping each thrust off to the left. Denala's rapier turned only a couple of degrees, but enough to barely miss the mark.
Both ways,
she scolded, for she had warned Regis against falling into a dangerous parry rhythm, and to accentuate her point, she held her next thrust just an eye-blink longer, then stabbed in behind Regis's waving rapier, her eyes and smile wide at her apparent kill. But up came Regis's dirk, left arm rising behind his right, the small blade angling Denala's attack to the right. And in that movement, Regis began his rapier retraction, bringing it down and dropping his right shoulder back, throwing himself right around, right behind left, farther from Denala's turned blade. He came around with a devastating thrust that brought a yelp from his opponent, who nearly tripped over backward, so fast did she retreat. But Regis stayed up with her, thrusting high, thrusting low, and always maintaining his perfect fencing posture, with his back foot perpendicular to the line of battle, his front foot aiming the way forward. Denala ducked off to the right, and as Regis turned to keep the pressure, she quickly slipped back to the left. This wasn't the way she typically fought, and Regis understood that she was testing him, using techniques he would more likely see from an opponent with a heavier blade, or a slashing or bludgeoning weapon. She was moving him, turning him, to see if he could react without losing his posture. It went on for many strikes and parries, Regis gaining a clear and lasting advantage for the first time in their years of sparring.
"Well done, but hold,"
Denala demanded, leaping back and lowering her blade. "Oh, fie," Regis argued, for he had her, he knew it.
"You have shown your agility and ability to hold your balance," Denala said, "but you could not close." "I did not have to close," Regis protested. "You use rapier and dirk, as do I." "Close,"
Danala challenged, assuming a ready position once more.
You can never win without it. Do you think you'll be fighting a halfling with a rapier? Nay, spider, you'll be battling an orc or a human, bigger and stronger, and able to smash your skull from afar.
Ha-ha, she added with a deft parry as Regis rushed ahead with a series of sudden, balanced steps, never crossing his trailing foot before his front, the perfect fencing charge.
You can't win from there,
Danala laughed, and when Regis came on more ferociously, the woman twirled away.
Oh, but here comes the club for your head, she said,
or started to say, for then she was rolling back and away once more as Regis kept up the pursuit. Now he moved deliberately, cutting the room down, guiding her to a corner. She saw it, he knew.
Can't catch me, she declared, spinning out to the side, but Regis had anticipated it and moved even as she did, his rapier reaching out for her.
She fended it brilliantly, as usual, with a rolling block and a riposte, but Regis was ready for that sudden turn of events, and he too rolled his blade, back up and over, then down under and suddenly up, lifting Danala's arm as he rushed in. He slammed against her, pressing her back into the wall, and they were so close, face to face, Danala's sword arm up over her head, pinned to the wall by Regis's trapping blade. The tip of her dirk came against his ribs at the same moment his own found her ribs. He had taken her breath away and lost his own in the process, for he could not draw any air so close to this beautiful creature. They stared at each other for a long moment. Danala kissed him suddenly, passionately, and pressed out from the wall. Regis felt his knees go weak, and it was all he could do to hold his balance. But then Danala broke the kiss, and he nearly overbalanced forward once more, and might have fallen on his face, except that the woman's rapier prodded into his chest in what would have been a clean kill. She laughed at him.
You will learn, she said,
and she spun away as gracefully as any butterfly and skipped out of the room. Regis just stood there, his blades lowered, feeling positively naked, his thoughts spinning helplessly. He tried to focus on the fight, on the flow that had garnered him such an advantage. He tried to learn from this moment, but that was a useless exercise, with the heat of Danala's kiss so warm in his mind and body. To think that she had kissed him so. She was only